Okay, what I want to talk about today is indeed coming from a Dave angle. It's a message which really started about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago. It's a message that really culminated in Nikki, myself, and Fred and Chloe going to visit Nick's mum in Whitney for the weekend. And whilst we were there, we took the opportunity to go and visit Nick's cousin Mandy and see their dog. Quinn had just had puppies. When I say just had puppies, I mean literally just had puppies. So the puppies, I think they were nine puppies, thank you, and they were 2 days old. And they were Labrador puppies. And to give you an idea of the size of these puppies, I held one on my hand, and its sort of bum, if you like, was kind of by my thumb, and its chin just dangled over the end of my fingers. That's the size of them. And I sat in the living room holding this little puppy like that for about half an hour, and it did nothing. It just sat there asleep on my hand. And throughout the whole time, Freddie and Chloe and then Nick as well, to a certain extent, were, "Can we get one? Dad, come on, can we go and look at it? Look, you love it. You love it. You love it, Dad. You love it." And then Chloe would pipe in, "You do, Dave. You do really like it. You love it. You love it. You will look after it." Yes, of course you will. And then Nick's looking at me, sort of going, And then the strange thing is, Nick hates dogs. Honestly, if you saw like a toy poodle in the park, Nick would walk around the park to not go near it. She was so scared of dogs. But there she is with a puppy in her hand, and Freddie and Chloe were two each, and there was me with this little one going, "Oh, come on, let's do this, let's get a puppy." And I'm saying, "Nope, not happening, no way." And inside I'm thinking, it would be quite cool though. But there's no way am I going to admit this. And then equally I'm looking at the picture of the dad, which is a farm lab nearby, And he's big. He's a big Labrador. And whilst the mum, Quinn's quite small, I'm thinking, "Oh, do you know what? I don't want a Labrador. They're massive. We've got a small house, and I don't want a massive Labrador. It's too big. But maybe I'll think about something else." So then I start to investigate. I didn't say anything to anyone. I start to investigate. I chat to Nick, and say, "Okay, maybe we'll do this, but let's not tell Freddie and Chloe, maybe we'll do this." And I start looking online, and in the way I kind of work, I think, if I get a crossbreed, I quite like lab in the mentality, but it's too big, so I need to crossbreed it with something smaller, and that's the perfect way of doing it. And I was thinking of Chloe and Nicky's dog, Finlay, who is a Jack Russell Springer cross, and he's really little, short-haired, great. I'm thinking, that's the sort of size I want, sort of cross with a Springer. So I'm thinking, Springer Lab, that's a good cross, or Springer Door, as they're called in popular culture now. And so I start researching Springer Doors, and I think, I've found a litter in North Wales, right up on the coast there, and I look at all the photographs, and I select the one that's the cutest, the one that I kind of would be prepared to walk around the park. Now, bear in mind, I'm 6'4" and over 10 stone. And I wanted a dog that I could be proud of as, it's going to sound really awful, but proud of as a man to walk around the park. I do not want to be walking around the park with a rat on a lead, basically. And my sister's got a little dog, and it's a Chihuahua Jack Russell cross. I'll leave it there. And so we chose this little dog, and he came from North Wales, and the date we could pick him up was pretty much a date around the royal wedding, so we called him Henry from Wales. See what we did there? It's clever, isn't it? Instead of Henry Wales. In fact, the first outing when we got him, we took him to the polo to meet his brother, Prince William. So we get him, we choose this dog, and I pay the deposit, and I send Fred a picture of this little puppy, really just like a bundle of fluff, and said, "What about the name Henry?" No, that's it, sorry, a text. "What about the name Henry?" And Fred and Chloe came back and went, "Oh, I like that name. We like that name." And there were lots of other names we thought of, but Henry was the name. And I said, and he said, what for? And I sent him a picture of his puppy and said, what, this one? And he went, yeah, something like that would be nice. I said, well, unfortunately, that one's gone. And he went, oh, tell me who, I'll go and get it. And I said, well, us. And he's like, what? And it took all of about half a second before the phone was ringing to find out exactly what was going on. And sure enough, we settled on Henry, and he was a Labrador Springer Cross. And in my mind, I'm thinking, a small Labrador. And that worked perfectly to plan, because when we went to see the litter, they were all like miniature Labradors, except for Henry. Henry was a massive Springer. So instead of a small short-haired dog, I ended up with a Labrador-sized Springer with hair that's about this long. Huge. His paws were almost half the width of his body, and his ears were so long that when he ate, basically we had to hold them back so they didn't go in his food. And he's huge. But that's what we wanted. I didn't want a scary dog. I wanted a nice dog. And that's the thing, that all dogs are different. Some are big dogs, some are small dogs. Some are hairy dogs, some are bold dogs. It's worth Googling. It's not pleasant, but it's worth Googling. Some are scary dogs and some are handbag dogs. And I wanted the thing that was in the middle. The thing is, every dog is different, both in temperament, size and style. And Henry is definitely different to what I imagined. But that's the thing. Not only are dogs different, but we're all different. We, you know, come in different shapes and sizes. We're male and female. We have different likes and dislikes. Some people support Arsenal, Adrian, yes, and the rest of us don't. The thing is, you see, what I discovered, that Henry, to give you an idea, he started off as this little puppy, and he came to our house, and he was about this big, really cute, and my sister's little dog that I mentioned was a few years old, 3 years old, and they were the same size, and they ran around the garden together. But Henry hadn't yet grown, so he started to grow. And before you knew it, by the time he got to about 3 months, 4 months old, he was the same size as Finley. And so they ran around the garden together playing. And now at a year old, Henry is 82 centimetres from his collar to the end of his tail, which is about 20 centimetres bigger than a double XL coat you can buy in Pets at Home. And he weighs 26 kilos. It's basically like having a high-speed suitcase running around your house. But we won't change him for the world. Now, it seems that I was a rubbish chooser. I chose a dog I thought was going to be exactly what I wanted. It was nothing like I wanted, but he's everything that we needed. But God's not like that. God chooses us, and he doesn't make those mistakes. Ephesians 1, verse 4, it's a verse that was the memory verse when I first became a Christian 30 years ago. And it says this, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, you could argue that I made a mistake in choosing Henry, but you could never argue that God makes mistakes. God chose you. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. We're all different, and we need to be comfortable with the fact we're all different. We need to not look around, compare ourselves to each other, and say, well, Richard preaches in this style, therefore I need to preach in that style. And Rich doesn't need to look at me, not that he probably would, and say, I need to preach like Dave's style, completely disorganised. But we're all different. We all have our own styles. And God chose me to be me, the same as he chose you all to be you. The thing is with Henry is when I come home, and in the title, if you want a title to my message, it's The Book of Henry. It's a dog's life. And when I come home from work, I leave the house in the morning at around 7:15. I used to get home anywhere between 5 and 6 o'clock. And when I drive down the road, the first thing I see is Henry in the window of our house looking out. He's there, and Nick says that he gets there about 10 minutes before I get home. You know, he knows I'm coming, and he's there in the window looking out. And when I come home, I open the front door, And Henry then goes from the window round into our hallway where we have a stair gate, just so we can actually get him through the front door, and hold him back. And he's at that stair gate and he runs there. And then the first thing he does, he jumps up and he thinks, I've not bought anything. So then he runs back into the living room and he gets a toy and he brings it to me. And he sits there and he's there and his whole body wags. It's because he's a springer. He doesn't just wag his tail, everything wags. And so the whole body's wagging. And if I've not come through the door quite quick enough, he'll then sprint from the stair gate to the window, back to the stair gate, back to the window, and keep doing that until I'm through the front door. He's excited to see me. Dogs are always excited to see the master. Every day is the same. He jumps up and he says, where have you been? I've been waiting to see you. And we need to be that excited about meeting with God. God's always there, don't get me wrong, but we need to be that person who says, come on, God, where are you? I want to be with you all the time. How many of you on a Sunday morning wake up, jump out of bed and go, it's Sunday, come on, we're going to church? Or how many of you open your eyes, kind of go, oh, I can stay in bed till 9:46 and still get there at 10:29. Come on, snooze. We should be jumping out of bed like an expectant child and saying, can we go yet? Nick's a bit like that, if I'm honest. I have to be honest, I'm more 10 o'clock, I need to be there at 10. 9:15 I can get up. 9:45 I can leave. We can be here for 10. Tick. Nick, on the other hand, 8:30 is, come on, we're going to be late. Hurry up. She's at the front door. Freddie and I are dragging ourselves up. Nick's like, come on, we're going to be late. We're not ever late. But Nick's really excited to be here. I'm really excited to be in bed. But we should be excited to be here. We should be like Henry, wagging our tails, excited to be in the presence of God. Somebody once said, it's completely normal to feel out of your mind when falling in love. A study from the Kinseg Institute found that the brain reacts the same as if you've taken cocaine. Now, I've never taken cocaine, just put that out there. I've never taken any drugs or illegal drugs. But I did, when I was really young, before I was a Christian, used to drink quite a lot. Youth culture now is no different to what it was then. I was 16 when I became a Christian. My first love was Strongbow. And I did used to drink quite a lot when I was from the age of 16 in December up until I became a Christian in April, those 3 months. And it took a while to carry on until I got baptized when I really changed that. But I know that when I became a Christian and then I got prayed for, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I know how it made me feel. It made me feel like, for want of a phrase, like I was completely plastered, totally gazeboed. You know, I felt totally drunk. I hadn't drank anything. All I had was the Holy Spirit. But that was how it made me feel. And it was about God saying to me, I'm so much more. I can make you feel joy like you've never experienced before. And I am, if you've ever had the pleasure or displeasure of being with me when I may have had a pint, which is very rare, that one time a year, you would know that I'm a happy drunk. I giggle. When I'm, as it happened, and when I spend time with God, I giggle. I can't help it. I find it really difficult to be serious. Really difficult. I can be at funerals and giggle because the joy of the Lord just comes out and I can't help it. I've been praying for people for, like, when they're really sick. And then I start to smile. And then I feel guilty because I'm smiling. But I'm smiling because I know God's good. I feel guilty because I'm smiling, which makes me smile even more. And because I know I'm smiling even more, then I start to laugh. And it's really embarrassing when you're praying for someone and you're saying, look, I'm really sick, I've only got a few months to go. And you're going, oh, I'll pray for you. But that, I can't help it. In worship, you'll know, it's interesting, Ed, I said, we were talking this morning, and what did he say? He said, you were laughing this morning. And I said, yeah, I know I was. I couldn't help myself, and I was trying not to. I'd wound Michelle up to say that I was going to try and put her off this morning. But I didn't. I was really good. But I was smiling. I couldn't help myself. And what I said, just to explain, was that we were talking last night about how you sing. Just sing from your chest and not your mouth, and so therefore your tongue should be relaxed. I said, fantastic. I'm going to think about that tomorrow morning. God would very good for me. And Michelle was like, please don't do that, please don't. And I didn't. So we should be excited to see the Master. So the first thing that I do when I come through and he's there and he's wagging his body is I either rub him on the head or I bend down, or sometimes if he jumps up, I give him a little hug and I say hello. Diane Comer, in her book, He Speaks in the Silence, she's a deaf lady, says, God's presence enfolded me and assured me of my worth. And that's what we do. That's what I do. I say to Henry, hello, boy, how are you? Have you had a good day? He doesn't answer. In his own way, he maybe just licks my face, which is pretty grim, because usually Nick's fed him just before. And I sit down. I've had a long journey, maybe an hour's drive, and I sit in the armchair. And Henry, so desperate to be in my presence, bear in mind he's this massive suitcase-sized dog, decides, I'm going to sit on his lap. And he comes up on the side, and he somehow manages to get on my lap, and he lies down, he rests his chin between my knees. He just lies there, just rests in my presence. That's all he wants to do. And I'm kind of like this. Like, yeah, I've had a really good day, this huge lump. But that's what we need to do. We need to rest in God's presence. Let God's presence enfold you. Let him say, I love you. Now, the more cynical amongst you might say, the reason he does that is not because he loves me, because I feed him. And that's true. I do feed him in the mornings. Nick quite often feeds him in the evening. And he comes to us for his food. He can't exist without food. He's designed to eat. And boy, does he eat. When he does eat, he really eats. He's quite fussy, I have to be honest. And when they eat, dogs grow. Henry's definitely grown. My sister's dog is the same size as it was when Henry first came. It hasn't grown probably since birth by the size of it. And it went off from being eye to eye with Henry to the point where now, a year later, it can walk underneath Henry without ducking. Henry has definitely grown. They love being together, though. It doesn't matter what size they are. They're different, but they love being together, Henry and Tansy. And on Friday night, they were playing, and Tansy ran across the back of Henry, and his head was down, and he kind of went like that and lifted his head up as she ran across. She kind of flew up in the air and very nearly went over the back of the sofa, much to my amusement, but not to my sister's. But we need to be fed physically and spiritually. We're designed to be fed. Just as we feed Henry, so God will feed us. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And just as we only give Henry the best food we can, and we try and stop him from eating all of the rubbish that he finds, God will do the same to us. He only gives us good food. Now, Henry will eat anything that he shouldn't. If you let him in the garden, he'll eat snails, wood. If you put any rubbish out, he'll try and trough that. Give him some nice food, he turns his nose up. You know, he quite often were pulling stuff out of his mouth. I would never thought I'd have my hand so deep into a slobbery mouth, pulling out all sorts of stuff that you found in the park. But you just do it because we care for him. And God's the same. He cares about us, and he'll try what he can to stop us from eating bad things. And he provides us good food. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now you see, when we feed Henry, there's something which if you have a pet, a dog or a cat, or any pet really, you'll know that you put food in one end and some of it doesn't retain it all. Let's just put it that way. What goes in, some of it comes out. And it's the same for us. God feeds us, but we're designed for some of that to come out. We're designed to share. We're designed to share the good news when God speaks to us, to share it. It's great when you're leading a meeting and people come forward, like Alison today, to share. Because it says to me that God, they're feeding and they're sharing. The difference is what they're sharing is good. What Henry shares isn't so good. We need to feed so that we grow. And the more we grow, the more we're given. What we feed Henry at tea time now is significantly bigger than we fed him when he first came. Then after dinner comes walkies time. And when we first started going out, we led him everywhere. We put him on a lead and we took him around the park and we stayed on the path. And then after a while, Fred and I went down and we took him off and we got him to run just between us. And then when we realised he wasn't just going to go legging it off, we took him off his lead and he walks around the park now off his lead and he runs around. And he's free to roam. And the same way, God allows us to roam. He allows us to make our own decisions. Now, if Henry does go too far, we call him back. If it's not safe, or he's going too far away. And eventually, he walks along on his own, and he regularly checks back. And if you're walking with him, he might run around a little bit, but he'll kind of run a little bit, and then he'll stop and go, just to see where we are. And then he'll go a bit more, and he'll stop and just to see where we are. And he regularly checks in with us. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep checking in with God. God makes it free for us to roam, but we have to keep checking in on him. Keep praying, keep reading the word of God. That's one thing to remember, that even though Henry might not be on the lead, it's me that determines the route we take. So he'll run around, but when we get to each part of the park and I decide we're going to go up this path or that path, it's me that makes that decision. And he follows. And it's the same way that God makes the decisions for us. He leads us. We're free to go, but ultimately it's him that decides the path we take. Micah 6, verse 8 says, to walk humbly with your God. That's to say, God, I'm prepared to go the way you want me to go. It's not about my wishes, it's about yours. Now, sometimes he ventures a little bit too far. He gets sidetracked, usually by another dog, more likely another female dog, and he runs off. Now, we probably all know somebody who's done the same, been sidetracked, and they've gone off in their own direction. But sometimes, actually, we just lose sight of our purpose. We lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. We need to keep checking in on God to ask him, yes, I'm here in church every Sunday, but actually, what should I be doing here? What should I be bringing? What should I be contributing? It's the same for us. God does the same for us as I do for Henry. He calls out for us if we go too far. And if we still don't come, he goes looking for us. He leaves the 99. And if we can't be found, then he waits. You know, I know people, I've not had this experience, but I know people in the past who've lost their dogs. They've gone looking for them, they can't find them. And in the end, what they do is they just wait at home because inevitably they come home. Dogs are great at coming home eventually. And God does the same for us. It's the story of the prodigal son, isn't it? He just sits and waits. The role's reversed. It's gone from Henry sitting in the window looking for me to come home to me sitting in the window waiting for him to come home. And that's what God does for us. He waits for us to come home. And eventually the prodigal dog returns. Now, if he's scared, he hides behind me. Now, he does get scared when he's out. He's a big dog, but he's still a puppy, so he does get scared. Generally of really small dogs. Big dogs, you know, there's in the park there are Rottweilers, Staffordshire Bull Terrier. There's a beautiful dog, which is a Staffy Labrador Cross. It's a giant Staffy. Henry loves it. They run around together, they play. There's other big dogs, they just run around. The small little rodent-type dogs, he doesn't like. They bark at him, and as soon as they bark at him, that's it. He runs behind and tries to jump up on your back to hide. He kind of, I usually come back from a walk covered in mud all down the back where the dogs jumped up at me. And we do that, don't we? When we're scared, we run and we hide behind God. He hides behind me because I'm bigger. famous theologian, Bob the Tomato. Anyone know Bob the Tomato? A few of you. Bob the Tomato is from the VeggieTales, if you don't know. It's one of the best studies, theological studies that there is out there. And Bob said this. He said, does anyone know the song he sang? God is bigger. Do you know? Remember? God is bigger than the bogeyman. It's the song. And it's a song where Junior Asparagus is scared at night. And so he's in his bed. And so Bob the Tomato sings a song with Larry the Cucumber about God being bigger than the bogeyman. And not to be afraid. Now, it's a kid's story, clearly. But the truth is there, God is bigger than our problems. It doesn't matter what your problems are, how big they are, how difficult you think your life is, God is bigger. If you remember nothing today, just remember God is bigger than the bogeyman. We don't need to be afraid. Isaiah 40:12 teaches us, as another song goes, he's got the whole world in his hands. He hides behind me because he finds comfort in me. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The key word here is all. Cast all your cares upon him, not some. Everything, including the ones that you can deal with yourself. It means don't worry. And then when we get back home, Henry walks into the lounge and he slumps. To be fair, as do I. And if you've ever been to our house and you've experienced Henry, he would almost always do the same thing when you come through the door. He's a little bit better now. He's that little bit older and we've taken him to the vets. So he has calmed down a lot. But if you come to our house, he will be really excited when you first come through the door and then he slumps and he'll sit at your feet. You don't ever need to bring slippers because a dog will keep your feet warm. He sits at my feet. I saw a sign recently which said something really simple but really beautiful. It said, home is wherever I'm with you. Henry feels safe and secure in our presence, just the same as we should feel safe and secure and at rest in God's presence. Psalm 62, verse 1 to 2. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. And what he then does is he rolls onto his back. And this is not the most pleasant or demeaning way to lie, because he lies on his back, kind of like this. And he's a boy dog. So he's led there in the living room, on his back. Everything is kind of laid bare. He's fully exposed, but in the end he does that when he feels totally secure. And that's the thing, that when we feel totally secure in God, we lay everything bare before him. We don't hide anything, we're honest with him. He knows everything we're feeling anyway. What is the point of trying to hide our feelings? We need to be honest with God, where we're at, where we're struggling, and where we want him to take us. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. He feels totally at peace with us because he knows he's part of our family. And when we really understand we're part of God's family, we too can feel at peace with him. Now, my last point is this. If Henry kept a diary, what would it say? Anyone keep a diary? I don't know, I've got my hand up, I don't. Anyone? Nick keeps a diary. Jane? If Henry kept a diary, yesterday it would have said this. Today is the best day of my life. Full stop. And today it would say, today is the best day of my life. Full stop. And I'm guessing tomorrow it would say, is the best day of my life. See, every dog, every day for a dog is the best day of his life. He wakes up, it's like, whee! It's Sunday. Food, walk, sleep. Not necessarily in that order, not only necessarily just once. It's they love life every day. And that's what we should be like. We should be so full of the joy of the Lord that every day is the best day of our life. Filled with utter joy. It's different to being happy. Henry's not always happy. When after he came back from the vets, it's fair to say he was not happy. However, he still laid there, barely able to walk because of the anaesthetic, with his tail wagging. I'm thinking, why are you wagging your tail? Today is a day not to wag your tail. You know, I'd be quite happy if you sat there sad. I'd be sad, let's be honest. I certainly wouldn't be wagging my tail. But he did. He sat there. As soon as Nick came in the room, his tail starts wagging. He can't lift his head, but his tail's wagging. Utter joy. Anonymous quote, I remember the first day I ever looked into your eyes and felt my entire world flip. See, it's not dependent on circumstance. Psalm 27, 5 to 7. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. And his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. We need to live life like today is our last. You know, how many times do you see someone who is sadly terminally sick and they say, I've written a bucket list. All the things I want to achieve before my time is up. How many of you have got bucket lists? One of you, strangely the youngest one of you. Probably the one that's furthest from death has got a bucket list. You should all have bucket lists. Bucket lists aren't just about dying, they're about things you really want to achieve. And how many of you have got buckets? Let's cut it back a bit. Anyone got a bucket at home? Adrian, you've got a bucket. How often do you buy a bucket? They can't even remember the last time when he bought his bucket. Helen, have you got a bucket? How often do you use your bucket? Not very often. Anyone use their bucket regularly? Michelle uses a bucket regularly. When did you buy your bucket? How many buckets have you bought since?
Two.
So you don't keep buying another bucket every day. So Michelle's got a bucket which she uses every day or regularly, and she doesn't buy a new one every day. Which says to me that buckets aren't single use. So get a bucket, fill it, your bucket list, do the stuff that's in it, and then fill it again with some more stuff you want to do. It's not about waiting until the last minute and going, right, I'm about to die, got 3 weeks left to live, quick, bucket. Get it now while you've still got the life in you to do the stuff that's in it. Live life full of joy. Get out there and do things. Chuck yourself out of an aeroplane if you want to. Make sure you've got a parachute. Chuck yourself out of an aeroplane if it's what you want to do. Go skiing, do whatever you want to do. Crochet a blanket, if that's the thing that works for you. I don't want a blanket, incidentally. But do whatever you've got to do. Get a bucket, fill it, have a bucket list for today. Get it, fill it, empty it, fill it again. So to finish, be more like Henry. Be yourself, live your life. Be excited to be with God. Feed on the word of God. Keep checking in and don't lose sight of the direction. Cast all your cares upon him and feel safe. Make this the best day of your life. And one final quote. A guy called Charles Yu said this. If I could be half the person my dog is, I'd be twice the human I am. I'll leave you there.